You are listening to That You May Grow, a podcast brought to you by the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. I am Preston McElyea, and I'm one of the ministers here in Mount Vernon, as well as one of the hosts for this particular podcast. And with me here in our recording room is my brother, Jared Hammond.
Yeah, Preston, it's good again to be with you. I always look forward to these opportunities that we have to come together and, you know, search out the scripture and learn more about these characters of the Bible. I say characters, but of course we know that these were real people who existed even at the beginning of creation. And it's always fun just to look back and see what we can learn from, you know, these prominent names that we see throughout the scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you mentioned these are real people, and it's real people who were in real scenarios, real situations, that these are not made-up stories by any means, but these are real events, historical events. And like you say, it's always good to look back and to learn from them.
Absolutely. And, you know, especially in the direction we're going today as it pertains to our beginnings, thinking all the way back to Adam, you know, it's always been in the mind of men to try and trace back their lineage or trace back to their beginnings. Mm-hmm. And this is where it all begins for mankind with Adam. And then, of course, later we'll talk about Eve. But that's our subject for the day.
Yeah, you know, I like how you tie that in with the ancestry. That's a that's a big thing these days. People get the little DNA kits and send in and see where their family came from, who they're related to, what famous person they're related to. Sometimes it's a good famous person. Sometimes it's a kind of notorious bad famous person.
That's right.
But no matter who we're related to, we learn going, like you say, all the way back at the beginning in the book of Genesis, we're all related to Adam.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, and there's very valuable lessons and details that we can take from Adam. And even the very fact that he was made in the image of God, that just says so much as far as they're in creation, and God is looking at all that he has created. And then, you know, it's often referred to as like this crowning jewel of God's creation, and he creates man. And the text there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 talks about it in the idea of him being created in the image of God. What are your thoughts on that as far as being created in the image of God?
Yeah, it seems to me that you know, if we just think about it from a physical standpoint, the physical image a lot of times that we think about today, I don't know that that's exactly what we're seeing here in Genesis 1:26. Because if we look at each other physically, I mean, yeah, we have certain similar characteristics, but going through the rest of Scripture, we see and understand, well, God is spirit. He's not a physical being, so I don't know that it has anything to do with a physical image. But maybe it has to do more so with our souls, the fact that God has given each of us a soul. And even, you know, thinking about some other passages, I don't have the reference ready on hand, but out of the book of Ecclesiastes, that he has placed eternity into our hearts, into our souls. And I know, Jared, we were speaking a little bit before we started this recording about one of the classical arguments for the existence of God, and one of those is called the ontological argument, which basically says that all of man for all of time has had some longing, some desire, somewhat of an understanding or feeling that there is something, someone who is greater. And perhaps that has to do with how God has created each one of us, that there's some sort of should be at least a recognition of a higher being, of God himself.
That's right. And, you know, I think that part of that imagery even is the, you know, we are able to experience different things in this life. And I think it's certain things that God has, in some sense, hardwired his creation. We're able to experience love, and we're able to experience goodness, and all of these attributes even that we see that make up God. Well, we're able to share in those attributes. Of course, not to the extent that he has them, but, you know, it's who we are. It's what we were made to be. We were created in his image.
And it's special as well to recognize that it's not just being made in his image, but we are made even by him. You know, that gives, that helps to give and establish a purpose for all of mankind, that we can look and see, well, God is the reason we are here. He is our creator. You know, when we were going through, Jared and I, we both went to Brown Trail, for benefit of those listening, to the Brown Trail School of Preaching. But we went through at different times. We had different teachers for some of these classes. And I remember in my apologetics class, Brother Rick Popejoy was the teacher for that. And he said something that's kind of stuck with me since I went through, that we did not come from the slime, but from the sublime. That you know, the fact is, the way that many in the world look at creation as a sense of evolution and kind of that process over millions and millions and billions of years that, you know, there are the little... words are escaping me, microorganisms that came together, and eventually you have the slime, and then out of that comes, you know, a little being that then evolves into a bigger and a greater, and eventually here are humans. That's not where we came from, but instead we came from God himself, and as we've noted, made in his image.
That's right, and I like that you brought that point in about evolution, because, you know, if you think about that kind of mindset or even that kind of belief for mankind, it's really a belief without any kind of hope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were just a accident. We were just a mistake. That's not right. The case.
And there's no purpose that can be found through
That's right. There'd be no purpose. We were created by our Almighty God. That is something that just is should just create a longing and a deep desire and love for our God, that he, in his mind, had this idea and this plan to create man, and we were created in his own image. It's a beautiful thing.
And even thinking about that man, of course, you know, we've kind of been looking at man as a whole of man and woman here. And even when you look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, you see that God created both male and female. He created them. But we think specifically about Adam being the first man, being the first male. It's important as well, especially in the society we live in today, to recognize that Adam is the first man, one of two biological genders, really the only genders that God has created.
That's right, Preston. You know, there's so much confusion in the world today that people come to a point in their life where they believe that they don't really truly know which it is mm-hmm. that they are. Well, I promise you this. In the end, God will be able to say, yes, this is a man or this is a woman. And there's nothing in between.
Right.
These are the two genders that God created, man and woman.
And each one has similarities, but there are certain unique differences. You know, even thinking about Adam himself, you know, we've talked about some of these similar things between man and woman, and we'll look more at those, of course, as we are able to discuss Eve in another show. But, you know, similarities, well, both man and woman made by God in the image of God, right? Both, you know, like you mentioned, kind of the crown of creation, that there's a certain, I don't necessarily want to say superiority, but a certain authority given to man over the rest of creation. And then there's that unique relationship that's there. But as we continue looking through the creation account, and especially once we get into chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 2, we see something specific given to Adam that of course, this is before Eve came into the picture here, but something I think is important, especially for us as men to recognize. Genesis 2 and verse 15, we see that for Adam, he was created to be a worker.
That's right. You know, he was put into this garden, and he was, as it states there in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 2, to tend and keep it. He had certain responsibilities. It wasn't the case, you know, that he's just put out there and he's to do as he pleases, but rather God had responsibilities that he wanted him to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
There was work that needed to be done, you know, and even in thinking about that, basically, everything that was needed for food and, you know, to continue to go from day to day was provided in great abundance. And you see that in the latter part of chapter 1. But it does not negate the fact that there was responsibilities. There was something he needed to be doing.
Right. And even, you know, we think even further down the road, and we'll hit on it here in just a little bit, But jumping ahead a little bit into Genesis chapter 3 with the consequences that come as a result for sin, even after the sin has taken place and Adam and Eve are going to be removed from the garden, from the very close fellowship they enjoyed with God, even being removed from that situation, part of the consequences still tend or still relate to the work that Adam was going to have to do, by the sweat of his brow, things of that nature. Well, Adam shows us that being a man, there's going to be work involved, and sometimes it might be hard work.
That's right. And, there was work, of course, like we stated, involved in the garden, but almost in that curse that came upon man for their shortcoming, it was almost in the sense where this is now going to be much harder.
Right.
You had it a lot better when you were in the garden, but of course now that you have fallen short, there's going to be much more hardship. There's going to be, even as it states in the text, that it's going to bring forth, as far as the ground, thorns and thistles, right? So there's going to be much more challenging to provide for your home. But the same aspect, you have work that is to be done.
Right. And I guess we can kind of, jump ahead and hit on it since we're here, thinking about these consequences of sin. This all came about because even though Adam was created by God and there was a subjection to God in that, God still created Adam. He created man. He creates all of us with free will.
That's right. I mean, we all have the choice each and every day. We're going to be faced with temptations. We're going to be faced with decisions to make and whether we make the right choice to do that which is pleasing to God or not. We have that choice to make for ourselves. Well, just the same, it was no different for Adam. It was no different, even as we'll get into in the next episode, for Eve. But they had a choice that they could make on their own, and we understand that there was instruction that was given to them. They were told what it was that they were able to take of and what they were not to take of, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were not to take of that tree, and of course, the decision was made. That was their free will.
Right. I mean, Genesis 3 and verse 6, we see how when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. So Eve, the first, like you mentioned, to actually sin, but then the end of Genesis 3 and verse 6, well, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. He is there, and he chooses to partake in the sin as well. He had a choice to do something different. He had a choice that he could have handled the situation differently, yet he chose to give into the temptation and to sin. And maybe that's why it is, even whenever we make it into Romans chapter 5, that we see even though Eve is the first who actually sinned, there's a connection with the first sin being with Adam as well.
That's right. And just like the verses that you're talking about, Preston, it recognizing that just as through one man's sin, all are going to receive this penalty, death, but just as one man's righteousness, then we can all receive eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But based on his decision that he made, yes, she made hers, he made his, the result of it being sin entered into the world, and of course, death to all of creation. Even in talking a little bit about Eve here, it kind of leads to another thought. There was this need for companionship.
Yeah.
And you see that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. It reads, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him."
And that's a powerful thing to recognize, that God created man. He created Adam with that need for companionship, as it says, it is not good that man should be alone. Now, that's not to say that it is a sin, that it is a bad thing for someone to be single. We recognize, looking around us, even if we may not have a spouse in this sense, we have plenty of friends, plenty of companions. Yet here in Genesis 2, of course, the context is looking specifically towards marriage. Towards that relationship that is only to be found between a man and a woman, between a husband and a wife.
That's right. You know, and it's kind of interesting because you think about, or at least, you know, I do, I think about Adam being in this situation, the first created of mankind, and he has these responsibilities, even in the naming of the animals and things of that nature. And, you know, you have all of these animals that are made in pairs. He's given these names, yet he doesn't have a companion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know based on the life that I've lived with my spouse, with my wife, Brandy, I know how difficult it would be for me if I didn't have her, right? I've grown so used to having her as my helpmate, as my friend, as my spouse, right? Thinking about this situation, he had not experienced that yet, right? But God knew in his mind that this is something that he needed. This was something that was going to benefit man, of course, and for procreation. But, you know, this is something that man needed. It was not good that he should be alone. It's hard to really wrap my mind around what must have been in Adam's mind at this time before he was told, you're going to have someone comparable to you. You're going to have someone that will be your spouse, right?
Right, because obviously, you know, you mentioned the fact that Adam had a responsibility of naming all of these animals. He saw all of these pairs. Well, clearly, Adam was not, you know, just kind of this clueless guy wandering around. He obviously had, you know, his brains.
Right.
He obviously had some actual wisdom here, smart enough that, you know, surely he could recognize, well, you know, these animals have a companion. They have a pair, like you say, but it's just me. You know, there's something about that. And even, again, to recognize that God created for Adam, and we'll talk more about it again once we get to the specific episode on Eve, but he's created specifically woman for man. And, you know, like we mentioned earlier with the genders and the society we live in, and really it's something that's been a problem throughout all of time, is to recognize how God has established or where God has authorized, you know, the specific intimate relationship.
That's right, Preston. You know, anyone familiar with the book of Romans, there, the latter part of Romans chapter 1, discusses how there were some who had turned away from that which was natural. They had turned away from what God had given to them as this other gender for a spouse. And it's not hard at all to see how God is displeased with that. And I say displeased, and that's probably maybe a little bit too light of a term, you know, in all reality. This is something that was just awful in that time. It's awful in this time.
Mm-hmm.
God created man and woman, and man is to leave his family, and he is to be joined to his spouse, right? He leaves his mother and his father, and he is joined to his spouse, and they become one. That's God's plan as it pertains to the household, to the family.
Right.
One man with one woman.
Right. And, you know, when we look at Adam as a whole, there are a lot of really good things for us to learn from him, right? You know, even just in the short time we've had discussing him, we've considered the fact that when we look at Adam, we learn that we've got purpose. We learn that we're made by God, that we have some likeness. We're made in God's image. We see the fact that as man, that there is a certain, hard to try to say what I'm thinking here, not superiority, but a certain authority, rather, over the rest of creation. The fact that we've got that unique relationship with God, that as man we should be those who are willing to work, that there's a companionship, that an aspect of that can only be fulfilled through that proper relationship. We see as well the importance that we have free will from God. We learn these things from Adam, but we also can see that you follow Adam in every aspect, you might find some problems.
That's absolutely right. You know, each and every one of us, we're gonna have our shortcomings in life, and you know, that's sin entered into the world, and of course, the consequence came upon all of God's creation from that point forward. But the beautiful thing about it, when you tie it all together in the overarching theme throughout the Bible and the scheme of redemption that's found, Adam is a type of Christ, as seen in Romans chapter 5 and verse 14 and 1 Corinthians 15.
Right, and being that type of Christ, of course, in Romans chapter 5, you see there that following Adam, following in his steps, following specifically in that disobedience of giving in to our temptations, giving in to sin, that leads to consequence. It leads ultimately to death. But, you know, in contrast there, seeing the similarity in Christ, following Christ means you follow him in obedience. Following him in obedience leads to eternal life. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add in there, you know, even this kind of ties back to some of the previous thoughts, but, you know, what God has supplied for us in being created in his image from his mind all the way back in the very beginning, he has a purpose for his creation. Mm-hmm. He always has. And he has provided a means of eternal salvation through Jesus the Christ. And in following Christ, we can receive that eternal inheritance. But it's something that is so vast. It is something that is so amazing when you think about it. And even thinking of some of those thoughts from earlier about how it was not good that man should be alone, right? And that's talking about that relationship. Mm-hmm. He would have a spouse. But even for people who go through this life and they're struggling at times with their existence, they're struggling at times with, you know, their purpose in life. If we turn back to God, you know, if we turn our attention to him and to his truth, we find our purpose.
Yeah.
We find value. We find so much that is there. And it's not in this world. It's not mm-hmm. anywhere else. It can't be found anywhere but God. And sometimes, yes, people may have that idea of I'm alone. I'm hopeless. Well, turn back to whom you were created by.
Mm-hmm. And it all, you know, even still leads to, like you say, that hope of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, like you mentioned a second ago, being one of those places where we find Adam as a type of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, specifically in verse 45, Paul there by inspiration says, "And so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." You look in the context there of 1 Corinthians 15, and you see that the last Adam that Paul mentions is talking about Christ Jesus, talking all in the chapter about how Christ rose from the dead. And so the point that Paul is making as far as making Adam a type of Christ there is even to say that just as through Adam, all physical life is found, through Christ Jesus, spiritual life is found. Again, you follow Christ, even when times get tough, like you say, you turn back to God. Whenever you're going to the right source, life is going to be found.
That's right, Preston. You know, one of the questions I like to ask from time to time, you know, and it's something I know I've done it and used this in sermons and maybe in Bible classes, but, you know, I guess kind of to wrap all this up in some form, being created in the image of God, like we said, he had a purpose for us. At the end of the day, you know, we can ask ourselves, am I truly living up to the image of which I was created? Do I still have areas where I can work on things? Absolutely, right? But it should be in our mind that we are trying to grow closer mm-hmm. and closer to God. The problem that they had in the garden, the sin that came about, it separated them from that tight, unique relationship they had in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it should be something that we are longing for, that we are striving to obtain
right.
through the life that we live.
Right, that we want to be able to experience what was there before that sin entered the world.
That's right.
And that's a great goal to be working toward, absolutely.
That's right.
Well, you have been... I don't even know what I'm saying now.
Hey, it was a good discussion and study over Adam. There's so much more that could be said, in all honesty. We could go on for probably another 30 minutes if we really wanted to. But, you know, that's what we have for today, and it's been really good to be here with you, Preston, and to look at another name found in the Bible. And, of course, our next episode we'll be looking at Eve, so that'll be just as fun to go through and see what we can learn about Eve as well.
Well, I appreciate you for picking me up right there at the end as I fell right on my face. But yes, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to sit and to discuss the first man, looking at Adam to see where it is all of us have come from. And some of these things, you know, we'll look at again, as we mentioned, going through the episode, because there is a close connection with Eve But there will be some more specific things specific to Eve, specific to women, of what can be learned from that first woman, as we are blessed to be able to have the opportunity to record that episode as well. And so we thank you again for being with us today, and we hope that you will continue to study God's Word, continue to pray, continue to grow closer to Him. And we'll catch you next time on That You May Grow.